just for being the God that you are, just being the awesome God that you are, the things that you do for us, the things that you give to us, the beauty of this earth that you put forth here to us, how you take care of us, how you meet our needs, how you watch over us and you guide and direct us, and just for all the help that you do for us. I thank and praise you, Father, for that. I thank you, Father, for just loving us and giving us your mercy, and just when we do go through trials and tests and tribulations, that you're there and that we can depend upon you. So we just ask now, Lord, that we could depend upon you here today, Father, with your lesson, that you would just teach us the things that need to be taught. Help us, Father, as fathers to be the men that we need to be, and just give us the guidance and direction. We ask, Father, that we need you and we need your help, and we just ask, Father, that you would just meet the needs here today. We ask we could uplift you, glorify you, and just in all things, even the service to follow, the message that you laid upon the pastor's heart, Lord, that we could learn more about you, Father. We want to get closer to you. We want to learn more about you, and Father, that's why we're here today, Father, to worship you in spirit and in truth and to learn about you. We thank and praise you, Father, for just all things you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, the first child eats dirt. Parents call the doctor. Second child eats dirt. The parents clean out the mouth. The third child eats dirt. Parents wonder if she really needs to feed him. Okay, we've been going over for the men different qualifications and things like that, and we got through that there last week with everything that we've gone over. And now we're going to start something here just a little bit different here today. And I'm going to start you out as I know your minds are very lazy right now. You just get out of bed. You just, got moving around. You just got everything. So I'm going to get you to thinking right away. We're going to look here at how to be a good father. Now, how to be a good father. What do you think in your mind is a good father? Dan, you're pretty good quick at thinking, I know that. Let me hit you right away. Okay. Anything else?
Nope.
Just one that spends time with his kids. Okay. Go ahead. I'm gonna hit you all up, so you better start talking to me. Ladies, you can say it too, because it's a good possibility you could get this same question asked to you later on. What do you think a good father is in your mind?
One who is a good example to his children.
Okay. Go ahead, Bunny. No, that's good. That's a very good one. So it is. whether you don't think so or not, that's a very good one. Yes. Go ahead, Dan.
One who corrects his children and then spends the time with them to explain the nature of sin.
That's right.
And pray with them over that issue.
Mm-hmm.
Good father has to be one who first loves the Lord, and then that will pass down to the children.
All good answers so far. Keep going. Ron, you're always talking. Come on, talk.
Well, I think there's a long word with what Dan said. A father who knows and raises his kids according to God's word.
I sit down and thought about this. I got 13 things written down here for you. So, I even asked my wife advice about it. So, I know you can't hardly believe that, Pastor, but... Pastor, what do you think a good father is?
About all the things mentioned, maybe add to it providing for the family.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Along with
Okay. What do you think a good father is? Well, I'll let you think about it a little bit. I'll start giving you mine here. He loves his family. He prays for his family. He follows the Bible and says what the Bible says and lives it. He teaches his family all aspects of life. And I mean, I'm saying all aspects of life. I'm just not saying that you know, the Bible is the most important, God is the most important, but he teaches them, you know, how to survive and, you know, just all aspects of life that there is. Teaches them to work, teaches them a job, career, whatever it might be. He, you know, that's just, when I say all aspects, I'm talking about all aspects. He teaches his children to obey and honor his father and mother. You know, that is lacking so much today in our society, it's unreal. There's no honor amongst father and mother. They're just somebody that I can go to, you know, that will give me money or whatever the case may be. Which is, you know, they need to learn to honor their father and mother. A good father stands up for what's right and does it also in front of his family. He lets his family know what's right. He'll stand up in front of his family and show them, you know, what is right and what is wrong. He takes charge. There's too many wimpy fathers out here today anymore that don't have enough of guts to stand up, you know, and take charge. Makes all decisions, but he also asks his wife for advice. Man, it's your responsibility to make decisions and make them right. And don't hee-haw around about them. I know too many people that hee-haw around about decisions and never come up and make a decision. You got to make a decision. If you made a mistake, learn from your mistakes. It's just life, you know. But make a decision. But also, you know, ask your wife for advice for that to help you out. He helps out when asked. And what I mean by that is when he's asked to help with the family or help with anything like that, you know, he does it. But also the other one that I have down here is he gives out advice when asked. There's times, fathers, that when our children are grown up and they have their own families, that sometimes we open our mouth and we should keep them shut. So give out the advice when you're asked. But other than that, there's sometimes, yes, you have to give out some advice. But, you know, it's for their good to help them out. Because if it's something that you've experienced and they haven't, I think it's okay to give the advice. But, you know, but use it when you do that. Use it that way. When he's wrong, he asks for forgiveness. There's where man's pride comes in. He doesn't want to do that. That's a man. That's a typical man. You ask any of your wives, they'll tell you that, gentlemen. We are like that. We have too much pride, but we do need to ask for forgiveness. One that pastor said, he provides for his family, and then he lets the kids learn from their mistakes. An example of this, I probably already told you about this already, but when we first we were building our house where we're living in right now, we were moving over there, and I had some calves at my father's place. And so I put up a little three-corner building and took a electric fence and put it around, and we moved the calves over there. And I told the boys, be careful. Watch that electric fence. It'll get you. It's a good one, too, because it was a good electric fence, and, I mean, it would zap you good. Chad one day He always took a stick and he'd lay on the fence and walk over it. And that was fine. But I told him, be careful. Well, it rained one day. He grabbed a wet stick. He laid it on the fence. And he got a dandy. And I tried to explain to him and told him. But you say, oh, well, you're a lousy father for letting him get there. Yeah, I stood there and watched him do it. But I knew he would learn his lesson from that. And he did. He never did that again. So,
tell him how you slapped your brother and said, watch this.
They learn from making mistakes. You have to, hey, you can tell a child so many times, don't touch that, it's hot. Don't touch that, it's hot. How many of you did that? How many of you told your children, don't touch that, it's hot? And what do? Boop, touch it. But I guarantee you, they didn't do it again, did they? So they got to learn from their mistakes. They learn from their mistakes. And you have to let them learn from their mistakes. So? Huh? Oh, yeah, some of them do it again. There's no doubt about it. I have a grandson right now that probably would do it. I mean, he's learned now. And he's kind of afraid of stuff, the stuff that's hot. But I'll tell you what, that kid, I'll bet you he will do it again. Just like you say there. I guarantee it. But what are you going to do? So, how to be a good father? That's the big question here. That's what we're going to go over. Anybody want to add anything to them? While I was going over it, did anything come to your minds? Okay. The question was asked to a Bible-believing philosopher, John Murray, and he was asked about Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And they couldn't figure out why. They say, if a Christian claims that verse, why are they losing so many of their children? You know what his answer was? They're not training them in the way they should go. They're not fulfilling that condition, so they're not. It's something that they're not doing. Now, something a little different here that I'm going to do for you today. I know that, especially you older people, if you're like me, I hate tests. I'm going to give you a test today. And we're going to see how just good you are. At my job that I have, we have to go to some schooling. And I only have one class so far to go to this year, so far. But there's a stupid test there. And I'm no good at it. But I'm going to give you a test here. And let's see just what you think here. What we're going to do here with this test here today. Let me see if I can get this thing. Where is it? Right here. Okay. Question number one, do you enjoy your children? Do you enjoy your children? Do you enjoy when your children are around? Or are they just a pain in your neck? I enjoy mine, and I know this week coming up, it's going to be chaos at my place. And there's chaos. I mean, Pastor knows a little bit what chaos, but you don't know it all, Pastor. Wait till you have grandchildren. I mean, all your kids get together and they get it's wild. It's wild. It gets wild at my place. But then you have the grandchildren. And there's one ripping this way, one ripping that way. They're going here, they're going there. There's toys laying all over the place. You know, I got more toys now than I did when I had kids. And I wanted to get rid of all that stuff. My front porch, there's bicycles. There's so many. I tell my wife, there's so many bicycles on my front porch. I might as well not even have a front porch. Can't even go out there and sit because of bicycles and stuff. You know, do you enjoy your children? You know, do you enjoy? Question number two. Do you love one child more than another? That's a tough one. That's something you got to watch. That's something that you can't do. And there's people that do that. I've seen grandparents do some picking over children. And that is no good whatsoever. It's not. They got to be loved all together the same. Do you tell your children you love them? And when did you do it the last time? These younger ones, they're not here today that need this here lesson, but oh well. You know, that's just the way it is. But, you know, you need to be telling that your children that you love them. You discipline them in things, and when you go through those kind of things, but they also need to be told that they need to be told that they're loved when they do go through that. So they do. When did you last hug your son or your daughter? You know, that's something that they definitely need. My wife was the one. She was the hugger. You know, she tries to hug her older children today. And that really goes over good sometimes. I just sit back and I just kind of snicker and laugh. But, you know, she does hug her. She does hug them, you know, and stuff. And they need it. You know, that's something when you're bringing young children up, that's something that they need. They need to know that. Do you eat with your children? That's something that's a lot of families, everybody's going there all their different ways all the time, and that's a good time to sit down and talk. You know, you can talk about anything you want to, but it's a good time to talk. It's a good time to talk about some of the things that's happened during the week or during the day and things like that there. Hey, I talk, my wife and I, whenever she sits at the table, we sit at the table and she doesn't have her nose in her iPad, we talk. But, you know, it's a good time. It's a good time to talk. You know, I ask her how her day goes because she works with a bunch of women. And I keep telling her, that's no good. Oh, no. Okay. But I just sit back and listen and, you know, but that's a good time to eat. Eat with your children. You talk to them. How you doing so far, gentlemen? Do you play with your children? What was the last time? When was the last time that you did this? And how often do you play with them? Do you play with them what they like or what you like? You know, sometimes you get to play, and that's something that I did, and I know my kids don't remember it, but when they were little. That's something that I enjoyed doing, getting down on the floor and letting them jump on top of me and wrestling around and things like that there. That was fun. I enjoyed that, you know. But that was something when they were small, and I take notice to some of the ones now, the younger ones and stuff in the family with the grandkids and stuff, the same thing is happening with them, you know. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But when they do play, do you like to play their things that they like to play, or do you want to do your thing? You know, something to think about. I mean, you can apply this also with grandchildren and things like that. Who disciplines the children when you're home? That's one thing that the wife is there all day long. She's the one that does all the disciplining. But gentlemen, when you're home, you need to be the one that disciplines. It's your job. It's your responsibility to do the disciplining. And you know that we're going to be going over some of these questions in this lesson that I have here. So you'll see some of the things here that I'm talking about. But it's one of them things. The next thing here: do you spank or discipline to express your anger or to show your concern? You need to explain to them why, you know, and that there will keep you from that'll get you from to cool down a little bit yourself. If you're angry, with you go to spank. You need to explain to them why they're getting spanked, what the Bible has to say about it, and it'll calm you down. It'll cool you down, so it will. And it's just one of them things, you know, that, you know, spanking out of anger is just no good. The next one here. Do you discipline to show your authority or to tell your child you are consistent in discipline? Showing your authority, you know, you're to help your child. Yes, they need to respect you. Yes, they need to know that you're the head. But still, you know, watch yourself on that. You know, that you don't take it to the far extent of it when you're disciplining it. And number 10 here, how often do you help your wife take care of the children when you are home? See, that's the thing. You're out working all day long, and men, you know what it's like when you come home. Sometimes you're dragging. But the wife's been there all day long, and she's been taking care of the kids. And, I mean, it's a tough situation with her, too, also. That she has. Okay. Here's one I think that's important. Do you reward your children when they do well? You know, that's something that I think is, you know, you discipline them all the time. And you let them know when they do wrong. But when they do good, then reward them. We reward the children back here in junior church when they sit and they do good. You know, when they pay attention, they know what they're supposed to do. We explain it to them. We're trying to teach them so that when they come out here, that they know to sit, to pay attention, to listen to the pastor, his message, you know, and to learn from it. And we reward them whenever they do. But if they don't, we don't reward them, you know. And that's just part of, you know, I think of bringing up children on the discipline side there of it. Rewarding them. Do you praise your children as much as you criticize them? There's a tough one, you know, praising your children. It's just something that one of the things that you need to learn to do is praising your children. This crazy thing isn't set right here. There we go. That might be better. Okay. Do you ever ask your children to forgive you when you do something wrong? Do you ever discipline when you knew it was wrong that you did it? You need to ask their forgiveness for it. And that's a tough one. So it is. Asking your children to forgive you. So that's just one of them things. The next one here. Do people tell you that your children are well behaved? Some people have the attitude if you tell their children that they're well behaved, they'll say, "They better be." Well, yeah, they better be, but you know, kind of, you know, look at it in the opposite sense there, you know. So evidently you're doing something right if somebody's telling you that your children are behaving themselves and things like that there. So, you know, look at it in that sense, at least anyhow. Are you having a regular family altar? That's something that's important. You want the church, you want the Sunday school, you want the junior church to teach your kids. But it should be an offspring of what you're teaching them at home. You see, it shouldn't be that you expecting that the church should be teaching them, but you need to be teaching them. A family altar is something good, and then what you've taught them, they'll probably learn it in Sunday school, or they'll probably learn it in junior church. It's just something that's added to what you have. It's a reinforcement of teaching your children. Do you bring your children to Sunday school, morning worship, evening prayer meeting? Do you talk with them in a positive way about what they've learned? I know that you other junior church teachers, I think, do the same thing like we do. We give them papers. And, you know, I just wonder if the parents take these kids, sit them down, and, you know, go over what they just learned. You know, you want to reinforce things, then help them, you know. Talk to them about it. Just going from here to home. Say, you know, what did you learn in Sunday school today? What did you learn in junior church today? You know, yeah, things like that there. Talk to them about what they learned. You know, help them. You know, help them whenever that happens. The same way with bringing them to prayer meeting. You know, if you bring them to prayer meeting, then teach them to pray. Don't give them a piece of paper and a pencil and sit there and just write all the time. You're not teaching them to pray. I see that happen a lot. You know, teach them to pray. You know, let them pray, even if it's a couple words. So what? You're teaching them. You're training them. You know, so That's something that's very important and positive. In what ways are you trying to train them to serve the Lord? First of all, you better be serving the Lord. Then you can train your children to serve the Lord. You know, you need to serve the Lord, and then you need to train them to serve the Lord. You know, how do you know that you don't have the next pastor or the next evangelist growing up in that family, or the next pastor's wife or the next evangelist's wife growing up in your family? You don't know. So that's why it's so important to train them, you know, to serve the Lord. You know, just being a servant is fine also, you know, when you're training them to do those kind of things. Now, do you communicate with your children when you see they have a problem? Are you available? Do you make your children feel that you want to help with their problems, or do they think you're too busy to be bothered? Communication is one of the key things. That's what's lacking today in child raising. That's one thing that's lacking today with these here, one family that's bringing, one person in the family that's bringing up children. Either the father's bringing up the children, which you don't see too much, but the mother's bringing up the children. They're separated or something. And there's no communications. And I'm going to go over some of that a little bit, and I'll show you why, you know, that it's important to communicate. So it's one of them things that you need to communicate with your children. You need to talk to them. Do you tease your children about a sensitive matter, something like braces, stuttering weight, or something like that? That's a no-no. I mean, I tease my grandchildren all the time, but it's nothing like that there. Nothing things like that there. I tell them, you know, when they come, they say, oh, you got to go home. Go on, go ahead. Go on back home. No, Pappy, you're just teasing me, they'll say, you know. You know, I do tease them all the time and stuff like that there, but, you know, don't tease them about things like this here. And then the last thing here is, would your children say you were the most spiritual, thoughtful, loving dad a child could ever have? I'm not even going to hit that one. I mean, that one explains itself right there. So there's 20 questions on a test. How'd you do? How'd you do with that test? Don't answer me. Don't answer. You can if you want to add to it, Dan, you can. But don't answer. You know how you did. You know, even though your children are growing up right now, you know, how did you do when you were bringing your children up? You older ones. That's a thing. You want to add something, Dan? Go ahead. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, just going out here in the world, you know, teaching them to serve the Lord, you know, at a job, you know, you can make an influence on that. They could make an influence on that job where they're working with the people that they work around, you know, teaching them to serve the Lord, teaching them to stand up for what's right, you know, They don't follow the world's way. You know, their talk's different and all that. It's just, yeah. It's the whole thing put together there. Exactly right. Agree. Pastor, I've seen your hand.
There's a quote I came across some time ago. I can't remember exactly how it went, but something like, negative words are remembered much longer than words of praise.
Mm-hmm.
Our criticisms, our negative things that we say that hurt, they never remember.
Right.
But the times we encourage them and praise them, that's super helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just something that I feel myself is important, you know, as praising your children. You know, I blowed it when I was bringing my children up. But, you know, if it's something that I can help somebody out now, you know, do it, you know. I mean, now, I'm not sense, you know, not in the sense, you know, especially when they were little, you know, or something like that there, you know, a lot of people will, you know. If they do something, you know, if they you teach them, you know, pick up a fork, you know, or something, and put the food in their mouth, and you praise them, yay, you know, you did a good job, you know, you're praising them, you know, from little on up, you know, start that, and then you just continue it on, you know, there's a lot of things that they do. The newest one in our family, we just got a text this morning. He did his first rollover, you know. So now, you know, when he comes and he rolls over, especially I know at our, I'm sure he's getting it at his house, but I know you get it at our house, you know, yay, you did a good job, Gage, you rolled over, you know. And they like that, you know, they love, you can see that children do those kind of things. Nathan's younger ones, you know, that his young daughter, you know, if she does something, you know, we praise her, you know, we're praising them all the time. You know, that's something that I think is very important, especially when they're young and you're bringing them up of doing that. Because you do discipline them, and you know, and you teach them, you know, what's right and what's wrong, but then you got to also praise them too. And that's right. The pastor's right on that, you know. Anything else? Go ahead. I'm liking it. Anybody else? Okay. Now, the first thing here that we're going to go over, who is responsible for raising your children? Who do you think it is?
The government.
They think so. They think so. They think it's their responsibility for raising you, too, as far as that goes. Who is responsible for raising your children? Pastor, would you go to Colossians 3, 20 and 21? I'll get to that. Van, would you go to, let's see, Ephesians 5, 23. And Nathan, go to 2 Corinthians 5, 10. Okay. The Bible teaches children to obey their parents. But when the Scripture comes to parents, it lays the responsibility of raising the children squarely on the father. Colossians 3, 20 and 21.
Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged.
Fathers, it's your responsibility to raise your family. It's your responsibility to anything that happens in your family. You're the one that's the person who's held in charge is always the one who's held accountable, and that's the father. You're going to be accountable. You're going to answer for what you have done with your family. Just like the pastor up here is going to be accountable for this flock that he has and the flock that he had before. He's going to be accountable for it. I'm glad that I'm not a pastor and not in his shoes, because he has two things he's got to be accountable for. His flock and his family. Two things that he has to go through. I'm glad he has big shoulders, because it is a responsibility. Go ahead.
That puts a lot of pressure on Pastor right at the moment, and I just like to encourage him, because there's a soul in heaven today, my dad.
There you go. Exactly right. See? And there's probably lots of souls that's in heaven already from our pastor here. So, you know, but then there's things probably that he feels that he just didn't do enough, you know, or something like that. So, you know, that's just it. He's going to be held accountable for it. But you fathers are going to be held accountable for what you do with your family and how you've brought them up, you know. God has appointed you as head of the house, Ephesians 5:23. The husband is the head. He's the one. He's the one that's going to be held accountable. God's appointed you, men, whether you like it or whether you don't. He's appointed you. He's given you a helpmeet. Yes, I agree. And use that helpmeet, because there's lots of times she has. My wife doesn't know it. When I asked her questions and stuff, she has some wise advice for me a lot of times. Now, when she's kind of a little hot under the collar at me, the advice isn't quite as good as it is when she's not, you know. But, you know, I'm kidding. But, you know, I do ask my wife. I do talk to her, but I don't let her know all the time. I asked her that question last night about being a good father, and she was just trying to go over a few things, and she gave me an idea of one thing, and I said, well, just wait a minute, I got to go write it down. So I wrote it down so I didn't forget it. But, you know, it's still, though, your responsibility. You can take her advice, and you can use her advice. That's why God has given you a helpmeet, you know. But you are responsible to make the right decision, gentlemen. Let me point that out to you. It's your responsibility. It's up to you. This means that you are the one he holds responsible for what happens. God holds you responsible for what happens. 2 Corinthians 5:10.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad.
Remember, much of what you will be examined about will be what you have done in your home with your family and your children. Would you be ready to meet with Christ today? There's a question. You never know. There was a 12-year-old boy down in Reversburg. Hopefully he was saved, because he went to meet his maker the other day with a wagon and horses and buggy, or a horse and wagon that ran over him, crushed him between a building. You don't know. You have no idea. You don't know when that time will come. You know, make sure that things are done right. Now, here's one of the things that I was going to tell you that I was saying about some of them questions. The failures of fathers to fulfill their responsibility in the home is a major cause of the growth of homosexuality today and in this nation. Psychologist tells us that the usual home background for a male homosexual is a strong, domineering woman and a weak, absent father. To stop this tragedy, mothers must learn to be submissive, and fathers must learn to be involved. Buddy, that's a tough one today. That this society today, there needs to be some teaching and learning on that responsibility. If these young kids want to go out here and have children, then they need to learn the responsibility of taking care of them children, not just going from one woman to another woman to another woman to another woman and having children all over the place and then having no responsibility. If they have a child and it's responsible, then they need to learn to be involved in it and take full responsibility of this. So they do. God doesn't expect the church, the school, your wife to raise your children. While you need help from them all, from all these, God has placed you as the responsibility for caring for your children, and will you be faithful to it? You know, it's your responsibility, gentlemen. You're the one that's going to be held accountable, and you can see some of the things that's going to that'll take place. I'm going to have to stop there. Anybody want to add any comments or questions to that or anything? Yeah. Okay, because next week we're going to start out on how you should raise your children, all right? Father, I thank and praise you now for this time and for this day. I thank you, Father, for your word and some of the teachings of it, Father, and just the many aspects, Lord, here of raising kids and for us fathers to be responsible for all things, everything that happens and takes place in our families. So we ask, Lord, that this would be something that we can learn and that we would be responsible for, and that we learn to depend upon you, Father, to help us to get through our situations. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.